Hey, Filmcast listeners, as you may know if you've been listening for a while, if you are a patron at patreon.com/filmpodcast, you get access to ad-free episodes as well as exclusive After Dark episodes. Sometimes we like to post those After Dark episodes on the main feed. What you're about to hear is a portion of a recent After Dark episode. This one was recorded with me, Jeff Cannata, and Danish Syed. Devinder was out due to CES. We discuss Den of Thieves, the 2018 film, in advance of our main review of Pantera, coming up this week. To get episodes like this ad-free and to hear the rest of this episode, which contains a spirited defense of Star Wars Skeleton Crew on Disney Plus, go to patreon.com/filmpodcast, become a paid subscriber. Thanks to everyone at patreon.com/filmpodcast who keeps this podcast going.
We got a problem. It's major crime.
Get to know your enemy, boys. Every big time crew has been busted. These are the guys who took them down.
Gangbangers, these are not.
Whoever it is, they're addicted to heists.
Anybody moves, you shoot them. You understand?
Sooner or later, they'll need their fix.
It's time for the Filmcast to talk about Den of Thieves. This is a 2018 film in which an elite unit of the LA County Sheriff's Department and the state's most successful bank robbery crew clash as the outlaws plan a seemingly impossible heist on the Federal Reserve Bank. Again, this movie came out in 2018. It had a budget of $30 million. It made $44 million domestically. That is not very good.
That's a profit, baby!
And yet, the movie has persisted in the popular imagination. And so much so that we are on the cusp of the release of Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, a sequel that I literally is one of those movies like I just didn't believe we were ever going to get it. And the fact that we have gotten no screenings for it does seem to indicate the movie will be very terrible. But despite that, we are going to talk about Den of Thieves. We're going to start with just our overall thoughts, then we're going to move very quickly into spoilers. But I absolutely need to hear what Jeff Cannata thinks of Den of Thieves.
I can't explain why I haven't seen this before.
I can explain. It's not a very good film.
What?
Well, wait, what? What?
Wait, I mean, I love it, and I gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd, you know?
We didn't cover it, right? It wasn't discussed.
I don't think so.
I don't even have any memory of, like, I don't have any memory of it going by. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I see.
Some movies I didn't see, and I know they went by, but I don't even remember this being on my radar at all.
This was distributed by a company called STX Films, which has had some really good movies, but in general, most of the movies are not movies that people have heard of.
Okay.
And so they haven't, like, had a ton of experience with, like, really great marketing campaigns for huge films.
I sat down to watch this, knowing both of you liked it, but not having huge expectations for it. I know, Dave, you have repeatedly compared this to Heat. And I totally understand why.
I mean, unfavorably, but yes.
Wow. All of a sudden, he's like throwing shade.
Yeah, what is going on here?
This is like one of my greatest
films of all time. I was led here under false pretense.
Yeah.
I think you can recognize something's flaws and still love it. That's kind of what my position is on Den of Thieves.
All right.
I recognize no flaws.
I totally understand why someone would think of Heat when they saw this. Obviously, cool shoot. Oh, by the way, are we doing spoilers right out the gate for this movie?
I kind of just want your overall thoughts, and then we can do the full spoilers.
The thing that I was reminded of when I saw Den of Thieves is my favorite television series of all time, The Shield.
Star Wars Skeleton Crew.
The Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This feels like a long episode of The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an absolute blast with this movie.
Yes.
Woo! I totally loved it. Every time it started to go down a path where I'm like, I don't know, movie, it would pull itself out and I'd be like, you totally made that worth it.
Yeah.
You totally made that worth it.
Yeah.
Like there's a sequence where somebody sleeps with somebody else's girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I believe this movie. I don't know. And then it like pulls itself out. Mm-hmm. It's like, you justified it. You got me. It's all works. Mm-hmm. I think the script is really smart. I love a heist movie. I love honestly any movie where it's like, there's 3-inch thick steel. There's going to be laser beams, smoke, fog. It's impossible to break in. There's no possible way to do it. There's 400 guards stationed all with infrared vision. It's like, I love any movie that has a scene that tells me how it's not possible for them to do what they're about to do. And then they do it. That is my favorite thing. This movie has such great twists and feints and what is that? Oh, that's cool. Like, it does that over and over again. I don't like any of the people in this movie as people, but like, it's still a blast to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Brian Van Holt in it barely, but he's in it. One of my favorite people from Cougar Town, a very underrated television series from around that same time.
Deep cut. So, yeah.
I am so pleased that you both forced me to watch this. I sat down and saw that it was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I was like, oh, no. The time flew by.
Yes.
Yeah.
Had a blast.
There's an unrated cut, by the way, that's
significantly
longer.
I have not seen this.
Apparently not as good. It's the scenes drag a little bit more. The theatrical cut is apparently superior. But right. Jeff, I am so glad to hear you like this movie.
Total blast at this
That's
movie.
Awesome.
Total blast.
All right. So, Den of Thieves, or as some people call it, Temu Heat, it very much touches on some of the same themes as Heat. Frustrated masculinity. What does it mean to be a man in today's day and age? Obviously, people who love bank robber heist movies.
They're addicted to heists, Dave.
They're addicted to heists. They're addicted to heists and or catching people who do heists, right? But yeah, I absolutely love this movie. I think it is ridiculous. It is so chaotic. So many decisions in this movie are completely chaotic and nonsensical.
I don't know if I agree with that.
And yet, every now and then, something happens in the movie that's like, holy shit, that's incredible. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. The opening shot of the film, which starts with like a helicopter shot.
Mm-hmm. And statistics that can't possibly be true.
No, they're completely nonsense. Here they are. It says, I took a photo. 2,100 times a year, 44 times a week, 9 times a day, every 48 minutes, a bank is robbed here.
In Los Angeles.
This is in Los Angeles, right?
That just seems, insane. Is that possible?
It used to be, it used to be significantly higher than it is right now, and approaching those numbers, but I don't think it was ever that high. Also, the town Ben Affleck's movie kind of made up similar statistics, you know. But anyway, it starts with the helicopter shot that somehow, you see this Brinks truck tiny in the distance, and somehow the shot approaches, it gets closer until it's street level. I'm like, how did they even achieve that? And there's a bunch of moments like that in the film where it's like, wow, that's amazing that they thought and executed that. So anyway, those are my brief thoughts. I think this movie is underappreciated. Yes, it is a warmed over version of Heat, but sometimes that's what you want. You know, sometimes you want a hamburger instead of steak. And I think this movie is an excellent execution of the hamburger concept. Danish, I had some brief thoughts before. Let's get into some spoilers.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that it's weird to say it's streamlined because it's also still very long, but it doesn't have some of the subplots of Heat that drag it down. You know, there's...
How dare you? But now it's my turn to be offended.
do we really need Natalie Portman, storyline? I don't think so. But
it's about manhood. Danish, yeah. I'm sorry you can't recognize the brilliance of Heat.
The other thing that Jeff, you touched on it, all these people are being horrible. I have to talk about Gerard Butler's performance in this movie.
Absolutely.
He is a
constantly eating.
talk about one of the best character intros of all time. He walks into a crime scene, picks up a crime scene donut and starts eating it.
Yeah.
And then tosses half of it back into the crime scene. He is a walking pile of dirty laundry. His face is grizzled. It's just amazing. And I just love his character because he's this complete mess. He's this amazing juxtaposition of someone who's the alpha male, powerful, assertive, in control, but also completely out of control, completely a piece of shit and disheveled and just have no discipline whatsoever. And I just think it's a fascinating kind of thing to watch him coexist this way. And like, there's scenes we'll get into in spoilers where the entire premise, the purpose of the scene is to just show you how much of a piece of shit this guy is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, what movies do that to your, I guess, presumably antagonist or protagonist, which he kind of is, but he's also not, which is awesome. So yeah, I love this movie. I love his character. I think just the heists themselves, like you talked about, are really clever. Tons of setups and payoffs.
That's what it has over Heat.
I agree.
Is like Heat does not approach this movie's level of clever.
Yeah. I agree.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the thing about this movie, Den of Thieves, is what if Al Pacino in Heat was a piece of shit and also not very good at his job? That's kind of what this movie asks.
I kind of think I don't know if he's not good at his job. He's not good at a lot of things.
There is the description that I read of the plot is like, and also the trailer says, these are the elite, major crime. These are the people that catch the hardest criminals to catch. And it's like, first of all, I don't think very much of that is in the film. I think it's all in the marketing and the trailer and stuff. And secondly, this guy is making mistakes left and right. He makes one good decision in the entire film, right? We should say, let's get into spoilers, right? So spoilers for Den of Thieves starting right now. He makes one good decision in the entire film, which is that he recognizes what's happening with the bank robbery immediately. That's the one thing he does. And also he has a good gunfight at the end. He, for instance, accidentally texts his wife
Amazing.
Wrong thing. Right, he's
brilliant.
He's completely incompetent. Well, that's the way I was kind of like, no, I'm not pushing back a lot because I completely agree. But it's more about like he's really good at some things and just so bad at other things. And sometimes they kind of bleed into each other. But that's another really economical scene where he cheats on his wife or does this whatever and he texts the wrong person. It's just so perfect for his character because he's an idiot. He's weak. He doesn't have any discipline. He's a piece of shit. But also I think he is effective in certain things. Like it's funny. I'm a huge fan of S.H.I.E.L.D. I never actually put two and two together, but you're right. He very much is Vic Mackey.
Yeah.
Because Vic Mackey is the bulldozer.
Yeah. Vic Mackey also has this terrible home life.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit to his wife. Like he's a complete dirtbag who doesn't think the rules apply to him. It's very, very similar. And I think that's an archetype of that I find very believable of the like elite level law enforcement where it's like all you do is deal with shit bags all day long. You kind of have to become one in order to think like them. Also, because you're in law enforcement, you don't have to follow the rules because no one's going to be law enforcement to you.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of the whole theme of the shield is like, we can hide behind the shield. Right. And I don't know. I find it very plausible that these types of super machismo jerks are doing this kind of thing, you know?
And he's also like, the thing is he's very watchable, you know,
for sure.
It reminds me of the sort of, what's his name? Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood, like in a different way. It's like, this guy is like just fascinating to watch even as he's doing these horrible things and even as he's being this horrible person.
I love his choice to just eat in every scene.
Just
shove something in my face.
And then he also is taking like Pepto. So this is just amazing.
Right.
I don't know how you keep that up take after take, scene after scene, week after week, but you did it.
So let's start, for a movie that's a heist movie, there's actually really only two heists in the whole film, right?
I mean, that's a lot of heists.
There's the opening heist, which I think is actually really well done, right?
Yeah.
Very tense. Really economical, and you can see like how things escalate and go out of control.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that sequence. Just like a really well done opening sequence.
Very cool thing that the guy who dies, we don't have any idea who he is until much later in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because the movie is like flashing back a lot.
Yeah.
And we're seeing what led up to that first scene.
Right.
And everybody's in masks. We don't know who's who in that first scene. We don't know who we even care about. And then we introduced to the crew, and then we realized later which one of them died. I thought that was kind of a cool little flourish.
And but the movie, I think, is just really kind of out of control in some ways, because then we get to the lair of the person of the bad guys, right? And you see that, like, Merriman cracks a sharp critique at his teammate for shooting a guy, and he's like, you know, better make sure there's no stray shots or something like that. And then we see the text on screen, Merriman.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like a great intro.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same thing with Big Nick before, like, or yeah. afterwards.
Big Nick.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I think the text on screen was like pretty chaotic in my opinion. And what I mean by that is, usually when you watch a movie, and correct me if I'm wrong, Danish, but usually when you watch a movie, the text on screen serves one purpose, right? So it'll be like location, you know, like Tangiers, yes. right? Boston, right? Whatever.
Tangiers.
And here in the movie, it's used to denote names, locations, and days.
Well, that's the problem with the first one being Merriman,
right?
Because I had no idea if right. that was a no, place.
Yeah,
the first was Hawthorne.
Location?
Yeah, yeah.
And no, right. there's one thing that said Hawthorne. I'm like, is that a guy or is it?
I gotta say, as somebody who lived in Los Angeles for 20 right. years, these are parts of LA that are never dramatized.
Right,
that's
right,
awesome. Right. I know. Yeah.
It just takes place in the places in LA nobody goes unless mm-hmm. you it's absolutely great. Have to, mm-hmm, you know,
mm-hmm,
yeah. Which is great. And it's like a number of those. It's just yeah. all over, you know, the parts of LA that you don't want to visit. It's great.
On the text thing, I completely agree. Like, it's chaotic. one of my very, very few criticisms of the movie, because what you should do is treat them differently. Like, have the names be higher up and the locations be bottom left
right,
or something.
Right.
And,
right.
Then also a super bizarre nitpicky thing, but bad font choice. Don't
the
like
font. Yeah.
Copper plate, Gothic or whatever they use. It's
yeah,
not
it's terrible.
Very good looking.
And the fact that the I didn't know that Merriman was his name until after Big Nick came up. And then I was like, oh, Merriman meant that guy.
Yeah, you know, right? It's so
it's obviously
weird.
Big Nick is that guy. You
right.
know?
So it's weird. And then we follow O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s character.
Right.
Who's one of the people from the heist. Or as my wife referred to him after we watched this movie, Baby Ice Cube.
Yep.
Baby Ice Cube.
and then we're following him at a bar for some reason. And then Gerard Butler shows up. Right, and he says he's shaking him down, and so he there's this moment when Gerard Butler says, "I'd fuck you," and it's like, what is
I know.
Happening? What
it's
is
the coolest,
going
it's
on?
The coolest line, and you see his take of like,
yeah.
How should I take that exactly,
yeah,
Pat?
I'm glad he had the same reaction as the audience. Jeff, what were you gonna say? You're gonna say
the biggest question I had in this entire plan. If they hadn't stolen an empty Brinks truck,
mm-hmm.
nobody questions it. There's no reason to steal an empty Brinks. It's a cool script thing.
Yeah.
Because like it
why
adds
are they
a question in
yeah.
the audience. It's right. like, why the hell would you steal an empty Brinks truck? And it's cool, like the payoff for why they had to steal the empty Brinks truck. But if you steal a full Brinks truck, no one thinks it's weird. And you also get money. Like, there's no downside to stealing a full Brinks truck, because the stealing of the empty Brinks truck wasn't any easier.
I mean, I guess that was maybe that's the premise, is that they presumably
it
would
have
been easier.
Right, right. Yeah.
But like, if they had to do to make that pay off is have that first scene be, take it, man. It's fucking empty.
Right.
Take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
what do
yeah,
you
right,
do?
Right,
you know,
right,
like,
right.
that would have been cool.
Well,
I mean, I think what happened was also cool, but
in reality, the Brinks people would probably say you can't let a truck fall into the wrong hand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because of what happens in the actual movie, Den of
but like,
Thieves, Jeff.
If you think for even half a second how smart these guys are, how like 12 steps ahead, there's no good reason to steal an empty Brinks truck. No good reason. It only causes you more problems, and also you don't get more money. Like,
yes, I agree. But theoretically, maybe they're less willing to defend it, right? Like, theoretically, but that doesn't. Yeah. But then also, why would you need to heist it? Anyway, whatever the case, O'Shea Jackson Jr. shows up. He wakes up after being electrocuted by Gerard Butler. Very funny scene.
Yeah.
And then he sits down and he's like, "Why are my pants wet?" And he said, "Oh, you pissed yourself."
And then, also, we're in a room with prostitutes, I guess. Like, that's how these guys roll.
And then he proceeds to then have the entire conversation. It's like, So O'Shea Jackson Jr. is just sitting in his piss the entire scene.
Yeah, like, but I think even weirder than that, Dave, is they knocked a suspect out.
Yes,
brought him to a hotel room and like, well, he's asleep. What should we do while we wait? I know. Let's call those hookers to come over.
Well, on the pants thing, I could be mistaken. I thought he said that. Don't worry, one of the girls.
Yeah, there's a line that says one of the girls cleaned you up because God forbid anyone would ever touch O'Shea Jackson Jr.
But the wet pants, right? The wet pants are not his piss. It's the water from cleaning the pants.
I see. Ooh, okay. Oh wow, I did not make that interpretation at all.
That was my
It's a very generous interpretation.
So why would you can imagine one of those women in one of those like dresses like washing O'Shea Jackson's jeans in the sink.
What else does that line mean then?
Hey, baby,
got one of the girls cleaning
come up.
Come
up to my room and clean up my buddy who pissed himself.
Yeah, you're right. Honestly, it never made much sense to me because why would he say that after O'Shea Jackson says, "Why are my pants wet?"
Yeah.
Did he have another set of pants lying next to him that we just didn't see? Anyway.
It's the strangest way to shake down a possible informant.
Right.
I also as weird, though, as the Benihana scene. Hey, I love me a Benihana.
Oh, my God.
Any movie that has a Benihana scene is already getting an extra star in my book.
Yeah.
It reminded me it reminded me of MacGruber, one of my favorite movies of all time, MacGruber. Where MacGruber reveals himself to the enemy, and Ryan Phillippe's character says, like, dude, he didn't know you were alive. That was a huge advantage. Like, I don't know why you I don't know why you did that. And it's like Gerard Butler walks in there, he's like blowing up O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s cover.
I know.
In the Benihana.
It's crazy. And I was like,
wow, what's his angle on this one?
No, I guess no angle whatsoever. He was just a freaking moron.
He's very impulsive. Well, the thing that I love, and this is another thing I'd put in the Den of Thieves column over Heat, is the constant mind fuckery. Like, that was awesome. Like, back and forth. The restaurant scene, obviously, which is tactically stupid, but just gets him in there. And then also, like, the gun range, where, like,
oh my God.
Merriman just, like, unloads, and it's, like, just the bang, 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 and, like, auditorily it's sort of intimidating. Then you realize, then he pulls the thing forward. It's like, this guy's an amazing shot. And then like you mentioned, like him at the girl's apartment and all of this stuff back and forth. It's just, they're just fucking with each other. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's hilarious that the we're way ahead of that gunshot scene, like the gun range scene, because obviously he just nailed the bullseye, right? Obviously he's awesome.
Yeah.
And the movie just lets him like stroll over, push the button, wait for it. I'm like, we all know what we're going to see here, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny how the movie's just like, what? Yeah. What's
it's true.
Be?
One of the disappointments of Heat, arguably, is that Al Pacino and Robert De Niro only have that one scene together, right?
Yeah.
They only have the cafe scene together.
Can I give you the hottest take ever? I don't think the famous Heat scene is as good as everyone says it is.
You know, I'm not ready to do this tonight, but I disagree with you.
I also disagree with you.
I think
that's one of my favorite scenes of all time.
But yeah, that's you know, I think Heat's a masterpiece, one of the greatest movies of all, one of my favorite movies of all time. It's amazing. But one of the, I wouldn't say this could use improvement because that would imply that the movie's not a masterpiece. But like, but I think one of the things that is a little sad is, oh, they only share that one scene, and then obviously together at the end.
Like, if there had been a scene where Al Pacino
interrupts
De Niro's girl, and then like walked out shirtless and awkwardly got his keys.
Yeah,
nothing in Heat matches that scene.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like
the look to the gun.
Yeah, the look to the gun.
The look to the gun on the counter.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So amazing.
Yeah.
But any time in a heist film when the enemy has the jump on, you know, the police and then doesn't take it, I find to be very...
Dave, we talked about this. There's a scene in The Order.
The Order.
It was
there's something in The Order that's very similar that's like incredible, yeah. And it's like they have the balance of power is in their favor and they decide not to use it. Why? Because they have other intentions. They're thinking on 3D, 4D chess levels you can't even possibly comprehend.
Yeah, Jeff, you alluded to this of like, what's going, like, what? Why are they, there's so many questions like that are so delicious like that.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like the scene after O'Shea Jackson sort of like exposed, quote unquote, it's like, are you working with the cops? This and that, he's interrogating. And at the very end, how does the scene end? He's like, make sure he knows it's Friday. It's like, what?
Yes.
Whoa, what an amazing.
Rad.
Yeah.
And clearly he wanted his girlfriend to sleep with him so that he would, you know, he wants him to feel overconfident, wants to feel any gut. But even then, when it's like, you know, we're taking down the Federal Reserve, we're taking down the Federal Reserve, and then we show up at the savings and loan, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. I was not, it's just so cool how the, and then we're like negotiating with the guy and we're going to shoot the hostages. I didn't think for a second they murdered that girl. Yeah, I was like, they definitely didn't murder that
negotiation
girl.
Negotiation is, because it's like, Merriman knows, he's seen these movies before. He like, he knows how the police are going to handle it. He says, if you call again, I'm going to kill a hostage. And
it's so rad.
Yeah.
It's so rad when he calls Butler's cell phone.
Oh my God.
That scene where he's like, you got this, you got this from her. Like she gave you my number, but also that he's like, so how, you know, what's your plan here? Right. He's like, I don't know. I'm making it up as I go.
Yeah.
It's just so delicious because he's got a sick plan.
Yeah.
It's just,
and the whole reason he got the cell phone was just to taunt him in that one. Like, there was no other reason for that cell phone.
The whole thing is to make him overconfident, make him hunker down and be like, we fucking got you, man. We're going to sit here as long as it takes.
Right.
We're going to get you. That's the entirely what he wants, is to just get all the attention over here while he does something over there.
Yeah.
The movie gets to have its cake and eat it too with regards to the heist, because they do introduce the Federal Reserve heist. You know, they say, and you, once you walk in, and then the money is vaporized, and then and then they have an entirely different robbery that you know is not the actual robbery.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's the whole time trying to figure out, like, how are these robberies connected? Like, what is the objective of the first, because you know they didn't just change the entire plan.
Right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned there's only two heists. I mean, there's technically like
there's four. Three.
Well, three if you count that as a heist, which it really isn't. It's just a decoy. Yeah. But I would actually even count the sort of setup to the heist as a mini heist with the Chinese food and like him delivering it and putting together.
Another one where you're just like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty convenient that those ladies order the same thing.
Yeah.
All, you know,
also,
from the same.
I mean, this is like unanswerable. Like, how many days was that up there? This is the thing that I cannot.
Well,
get
that's
out
why
of my
they
head.
Think it's disgusting. And the problem is,
the problem is, Jeff, I think it would have been like mold is growing on, you know, like it would have.
I don't know.
How many days? How many days? Like, that's the number. If it's like one day,
right.
No. Right. If it's two days, maybe not. Yeah. But then it's like
a week. A week, it wouldn't spoil to the point of being like, but they showed them being physically uncomfortable.
Right. But I just don't think you would have even put that in your mouth, is what I'm saying. You know, like it would have been like obviously.
I don't know.
Okay. Wait. Here's
you open that thing up, Jeff.
It's going to stay.
You open that thing.
It's
ripe, man. It's ripe. You open up a Chinese food container that's been there for a week, you would step back. You know what I'm saying?
I want to try to do the math. Like, I'll go back and rewatch and try to do the math of how many days it was.
It's a brilliant. I mean, other than you have to think
the vents.
Why are there vents that are
human
size? Yeah,
the vents is the big thing. Yeah.
Right.
But man, it's such a great. I love when movies do that where I have no freaking idea why he's doing that. What's he putting up there? A bomb?
Right.
Because they talk about an EMP.
Right.
And then you see him put that up there and I'm thinking, oh, is it a bag? But then I'm like, no, he went through the metal detector.
Yeah.
It couldn't be a bomb. And I just could not fathom what we were getting. And it's the movie is very smart with that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the joy of it, is really how far ahead of you it constantly is.
On that note about setting it up, like the sort of O'Shea Jackson interrogation scene when Big Nick has him there, he's like, how did you get involved with this gang and stuff? You go through the process and you're not even realizing you're seeing them set up the big heist. You're seeing them do the groundwork for the Fed Reserve heist by like, and also the cool detail with like, they throw the money in the water and the dye pack explodes in the water.
Yeah. Incredible.
So
amazing.
Cool.
Incredible. Amazing.
Yeah, and then they microwave it and all that stuff. And then they're stacking into very specific like packs, which later they line the cube with and stuff.
Right.
But like, you don't even know what you're looking at because it's just a flashback about something else.
Another one is when the dude leaves his badge on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that badge comes back way later in the movie, but you didn't know that was even a thing.
Yeah.
So like all the information is there. And that was another one of those moments where I was like, you know, we get to the end and we get to the big shootout, and the big shootout is awesome. And I'm like, oh, here's the heat moment. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, this crazy,
they're like leapfrogging each other, which is so like, yeah, one guy's actually, like,
let me say one thing about like the journey there, Jeff. And then I want to hear what you have to say is like, one of the things I like about this movie is many of the characters are given this moment of humanity, right?
Like 50 Cent's daughter.
50 Cent's daughter. Yeah. But also, you know, there's that moment with the bigger gentleman who does the electricity things, right? He's like, oh, you know, Donnie got burned, but I'm still good. And then he's like, he hangs up on him. And he's like, he says the F word really loud. And then when 50 Cent gets shot, right? It's like... Mm-hmm.
My kids.
You can tell how angry Merriman is at this. Like, everyone gets kind of this moment of humanity.
Yeah.
Right. Leading up to the conclusion, right?
Yeah. Even Big Nick, who has, again, they've spent many scenes establishing how much a piece of shit this is. When he's at the fence with his daughter, like, there is pathos there. Like, he's reaping his own.
Teacher? That teacher needs to. No, do not allow that. She's like, it's time. Come inside. Yeah. Don't talk to the creepy man through the fence.
Yeah. So anyway, we get to the end. Big shootout. Pretty well done action sequence. Jeff, what were you
saying? I thought it was cool. I love how they're like going up through traffic telling people to get down. I'm like, get down? That's not... Get out, you know, leave.
Meanwhile, Merriman has a freaking saw. He just opens fire. You know, it's insane.
So sick.
Yeah.
And he like taps the hood and everybody leaves so he can shoot through the car. It's so rad.
Yeah.
But so all that stuff goes down. It's cool, cool, cool. And I was really hoping, because I knew we had a sequel. And I'm like, oh, I hope Pablo Schreiber doesn't die because I want him to be in the next one.
Yeah, he was really, he's so cool.
He's so good. I love Pablo Schreiber. So cool. He's just awesome. But then he does die. I'm like, is there any possible... No, we see him literally die. Yeah. Dying, takes his balls. So I'm like, oh, wow. But seriously, what a cool ending to the movie. And then we get the usual suspects.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was one of those moments where I was like, oh, movie, don't fuck it up now. Don't try to do more than what. But then it's awesome. It's legitimately awesome. So, legitimately, because you see the dangling cuffs, and I was like, oh no! Oh no! They're gonna try to put a hat on a hat here.
That's exactly what they did.
But it looked great.
Best
it was
hat
a great
ever.
Hat.
So it really works.
Yeah, it really works.
Anyway, my wife was watching the movie. Like,
was it her first time
along with me? This is kind of her first halftime. Anyway, there is this post online by a user on Twitter named Cursed Glory Hole, and I've referred to this tweet in the past. And he says, lady behind me at the Thing screening last night to her partner asks, why are they shooting at the dog? And her partner says very firmly, have you never seen a film before? You watch it and information is revealed.
Oh, my God.
End quote, right?
The number of times I've had to say this.
And so my wife is watching the movie and she's texting. So we watched like the first half of the movie last night and then she fell asleep. And then she starts watching it today while I'm at work. And she says... Gerard Butler is so sloppy. I can't help but root for the bad guys. Of course, he is also a bad guy. I know that sometimes there's more information revealed as a movie goes on.
Sometimes.
But I can't
only
figure out.
Only with the best movies.
Yeah, so she's watching like the bank robbery, right? Yeah. Like the bank robbery of the smaller bank. And she's like, I can't figure out what the ploy is. Then later this evening, like right before this podcast started recording, we're watching the movie and she's saying, you know, the thing I don't get is why did Merriman let baby Ice Cube go, right? Like, clearly he's been talking with the police and it makes, like, Merriman is so competent, but he made this massive mistake. And I just, you know, I was like, I basically referred to this tweet and I was like, and then we get to the end and I'm like, yeah, like now, and she's realizing what's happening, right? And I'm like, yeah, now you get, do you get it? The reason why is because he was the protagonist all along. Right?
Which,
it's
honestly,
his heist all along.
It's a major bummer that the poster for Den of Thieves 2 is a massive spoiler for this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen it.
I just saw it today, thankfully, after I saw this movie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But the poster for Den of Thieves 2 is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Right.
With like cool sunglasses opposing Gerald Butler.
Yeah.
And like you know, thank God I didn't see that poster before I saw this movie. Because
thank God.
I thought that ending was... as it started, as I said, as it started, I was like, oh no, this isn't going to work at all. And it's so fun how it happens, what they show you, how we go back. It's a little, you know,
it is
even
ludicrous.
As hard
it's
to
ludicrous.
Swallow as some of it is. Yes.
It's ludicrous.
Don't pretend like I'm the guy in charge because I have to be the guy in charge. Yeah. So every time anybody talks, pretend like I'm the one in charge. I had to like stand up and clap because, mm-hmm. and then you get him in London with the
British accent.
Accent.
The British so accent. It's insane.
It's so
but
funny.
Yeah, the thing is, the thing I, you know, here are some open questions, right, that mm-hmm. I have after the movie is, man, Pablo Schreiber, they get back from the Benihanas and he has the guy fill the barrel full of chemicals because presumably they're going to dissolve O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s body in there. And then O'Shea Jackson Jr. gives a speech and he's like, I didn't tell him anything. And then I guess Pablo Schreiber's like, okay, fine. You know, like that's, I guess we're going to save the barrel full of chemicals for another day. he just had him fill it up for show, you know?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. There's that.
It's a scare tactic, you know.
It's a scare tactic. There is this, like I said, the big guy at the end. He gets like he calls Pablo Schreiber. He's like, you know, what's his name? What was his code name? It was like Heartburn or something.
It was something.
Anyway, yeah. He was like
Horsepower.
He's like,
no, Horsepower is O'Shea's. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like Horsepower got burned. He's like, but I'm still good. Where do I meet you?
Yeah,
and then he's like, he hangs up and he's like, ah, and he gets really angry. But the thing is, you find out at the end, he was in on it the whole time.
Yeah.
So why did he exclaim the F word?
Because no one was around.
Who was that for?
The cameras. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here's my headcanon for that.
Yeah,
I have one too.
Yeah.
I don't think O'Shea Jackson Jr. getting picked up by the cops was part of the plan.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
that's still.
Right.
A bad thing that happened that mm-hmm. he luckily could pick the things and get himself out of there.
Yeah.
But he was legitimately supposed to meet up with that dude on the phone and they're supposed to go and just go get their money. And, you know,
he wasn't. Yeah, exactly. He wasn't exclaiming because he was also excluded. He was more exclaiming because Donnie got caught.
Donnie got caught. I don't think Donnie was like, oh yeah. And then the cops will come and scoop me up off the street. I don't think that was part of his plan. He just improvised his way out of that and still made it work.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just going to go meet up with that dude and they were going to go to the real garbage truck and get the money and mm-hmm. fuck off, you know?
And also since he's caught now, he's got nowhere to go and maybe he's on Merriman's hit list or maybe he's a loose end or something. Maybe his life is in danger. Yeah. There's other reasons to mm-hmm. accept legitimately.
Okay. Well explained.
The guy at the bar who's just constantly just doing the tallies.
Yeah, like the German guy. Yeah.
I thought that dude was going to have a bigger role to play because he seems super mysterious. And I also is an actor I recognize. And I was like, that guy's up to something. But no, he was just there to be the usual suspects room. Yeah. It was like that picture and that receipt. And
I got to say, one of the things this movie actually really does a good job at is the background actors are all not people you've typically seen before. They're not people you're used to seeing on screen. And they all feel very convincing as working class people. You know, that's one of the things I really like about the film.
Yeah.
So anyway, what a picture.
Give it up for Brian Van Holt.
Anything else we want to bring up about how awesome Den of Thieves is. I mean, the thing is, I think the reason this movie is getting a sequel is because it did do well on home video. Like, it has become a bigger hit as it's hit, like, Netflix and Max and so on and so forth. And people see that there is some demand for it. So,
yeah. I texted a couple of buddies, like, I'm sure you guys have never seen this, but you got to check this movie out. And both of them are like, oh, no, I love that movie.
Right.
So, maybe, just anecdotally. Yeah. Yeah.
One quick thing I want to shout out. That scene where they're setting up how impossible the heist is. There's a number of times in the movie where they cross cut between like the cops and the robbers. Like,
yes.
So that scene where they're sort of like explaining everything is also being cross cut with like the dossier of each of these people. Like we have an explosives expert. We have this ex-military guy. And it's like, you're setting up how badass these guys are and how hard the job is at the same time. And I just thought that was really cool. And then
super cool.
Then gearing up at the same time. There's this one moment where they're putting the pieces together, the cops are, and they're like, the heist stopped when they were in prison. And I just love, yeah. I love that moment. Yeah. It's like Zodiac, you know, like yeah. It's exactly the same beat.
When they were in prison, there was no complex heist of any kind. Out of the 4,400 heists that happen a year. Yeah.
Every 15 minutes a freaking heist happens.
Not a single one of them was complex. The movie's really undermining itself in that moment, I think. So
go ahead.
No, you.
This is sort of a little bit off topic. I want to give a shout out to another really cool kind of heist movie called Dead Presidents from 1995, a Hughes Brothers movie. Yeah. Similar sort of in the sense that they are stealing money that is going to be destroyed. And that movie's completely different, but really, really cool. So highly recommend Dead Presidents. Just check it out.
Random other note, by the way. At the very end, when Pablo Schreiber's character dies, right? When Merriman dies, he says, "I told you," right? And that is a reference to earlier on in the film when a guard says,
"I told you, I'm not gonna go back to jail."
He's like, "Hey, see you soon, Merriman." And he says, "No, you won't," right? And then at the very end of the movie, Pablo Schreiber dies, and he says, "I told you," right? That's what I think that's a reference to.
Oh, I thought it was a reference to "I'm not going to prison."
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Oh, okay.
Because he said, "I'm not going back
because
I'm not getting cuffed." Is what he said.
Because because he's on the phone. When he's on the phone, he's saying, "I'm not getting cuffed." Okay.
Well, also, his last act is suicide by cop. Yeah, like he has an empty gun and he goes and raises it. So that was his.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it felt very like. Nobody else does he check to see if there were bullets in the gun. It's a very odd moment for him to be like, "Oh man, I killed him. Are there bullets in his gun?" it was very odd. But I don't know.
Well, maybe because he's thinking to himself, Merriman is so competent.
He would not have done this.
How would he have? Yeah, he would not have exposed himself without being able to shoot me.
Right.
Because he's seen how good Merriman is with a gun earlier on.
It's a cool movie. So my question for Danish is, is Den of Thieves 2 going to live up?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have high hopes because
to be clear, none of us have seen the trailer for Den of Thieves.
I haven't seen the trailer. I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
After Den of Thieves 1 came out, the writer director, who actually I never really looked up to see what else he's done, because that's the other thing
Christian
I'll say is,
Christian Gudegast.
Because this is like such a well-made movie. This guy
he wrote
like,
Plane, or he produced Plane.
Well, there you go.
Nice.
But anyway, I'm thinking like, man, this guy, what has he done before? Because this is like a very confident sort of movie. But after it came out, he was like, "I have an idea for another one. Like, I know where this story is going to go." And I remember back then being so excited, like, "Oh my god, I cannot believe if they make this one, it's gonna be so happy." And they were talking about it, and I would keep checking in and kind of like, you know, seeing news updates of like, it's still happening, whatever. And so. That's why I have hope of like, it's not a cash in. This is very much a passion project.
Yeah.
Like, he has an idea. He has a vision for it. So that's kind of why I'm really hopeful for it.
Yeah. Well,
I too am hopeful.
Awesome is literally Danish and I have been excited about this movie for literal actual years. Like we have been just years waiting for this movie to come out. Now it's dropping in theaters with seemingly zero marketing campaign.
I saw
ads for it on on the Golden Globes. I saw like an ad for Den of Thieves 2 during the Golden Globes. I'm like, no press screening, very little marketing. It's a bad sign. But also, people were wrong about Den of Thieves Part 1, right?
Yes, why? What is... I really take issue with the like... Oh, it's and Dave, you're guilty of this too. Oh, it's a Temu Heat. It's a Heat knockoff. Like, guys, you can have an entry in the genre without being a knockoff of something. Yes, there are similarities, but this is doing a thing. It's doing things better than Heat in some respects. It's just an awesome heist cops versus robbers movie.
I would argue it invites those comparisons, right? With all the background stuff of Gerard Butler's home, like broken home life. Like it's very, very similar to how it plays out.
I think the, you know, automatic weapon fight in the middle of Los Angeles traffic is really where you go,
yes.
Right? That seems to me the bigger...
Like the set pieces are similar, the home dynamics are similar, the sprawling nature of both casts is similar.
The fact that we're getting, you know, shades of gray on both sides of the criminality line.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I think it invites
do see the comparisons, but
thank you,
I don't though. Think thank this you. Movie is like a poor man's Heat. I really do think it's a fun you know, heist film. I don't know.
It's a rich man's 777.
Do you remember back in the movie? Is that the one with Oscar Isaac and
am I thinking of the right movie?
Is it Triple
Nine? Are you thinking of the one with Ben
Affleck?
Triple Nine. Yeah.
Oh, I messed that up. Oh, it's a rich man's 999.
There you go.
Which saved is it. The John Hillcoat heist movie. Sorry about that.
Do you remember back in, this is a weird tangent, but back in the 90s, you know, Brian De Palma would make these awesome thrillers and people, he would get criticized for being Alfred Hitchcock knockoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, he's just doing one of those. It's not a knockoff.
Right.
That's how I see Den of Thieves. It's like, it's not a knockoff. It's just an entry in that genre.
I remember when Snake Eyes came out.
Yeah.
And people freaking blasted that movie. You know, like they panned that movie. Now you watch Snake Eyes, you're like, holy shit, that's incredible. Right?
Yes.
Like Den of Thieves is undergoing the same rehabilitation project. Right now. We're making it happen right now.
We're doing
making it happen.
I will say one of the things I don't like about Den of Thieves, however.
No,
is,
what?
Is,
we're doing it.
Okay.
We're doing it.
Last thing, which is the color palette of Den of Thieves is really strange. It basically uses the same orange filter that they many directors use to refer to scenes in like Mexico, right? Mm. And if you watch the trailer for Den of Thieves, the color is completely different. It's like you're watching the same scenes, but literally it looks completely different because there's no orange tint on the entire scene.
The only sequence that I noticed that was the decoy bank heist. The rest of the movie I did not find.
The decoy bank heist, but also the entire final gunfight. It's all like has this orange tint.
I guess a little bit.
And I am curious if they're going to take a different approach for, like, I hope they, I have no idea where Den of Thieves 2 Pantera takes place, but I hope that there's a more diverse color palette in Den of Thieves Part 2. So,
yeah.
All right. Danny Syed, you don't want to let people know where they can find more of your work on the internet this week?
Oh, sure. I'm on X and Blue Sky and Instagram at Danish Syed or at _ Danish Syed. One of those. Sure, you can find it.
Literally, like when the Den of Thieves 2 trailer first premiered, within 5 minutes, I'm texting Danny Shad. Like, it's real.
It's yeah.
It's real. It's I'm like Yoda in Empire Strikes Back. Like there is another. You know, there is another Den of Thieves. Anyway,
now just waiting for Constantine 2. That's the next one.
Indeed. All right. Well, we'll be back here on the Filmcast next week with our conversation about Den of Thieves Part 2. Until then, thank you so much for your support at patreon.com/filmpodcast. He's Jeff Cannata. I'm David Chen. We'll see you later.